In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the one just read from Isaiah 26. Rejoice in the Lord, he is our joy. The announcer intoned the numbers in the countdown. 3, 2, 1. We have ignition and liftoff. The engines fired and the rocket rose slowly from the launch pad toward its destination in space. It was deathly silent in the control room. You could hear a pin drop, literally. This was the first manned launch since the disastrous explosion and the horrible tragedy to many, many people of Challenger 1. Everybody present, all the scientists, the spectators, the reporters, held their breath for what seemed an eternity as they watched the monitors and the rocket slowly disappear with the vapor trail behind it, waiting for the announcement, which finally came, we have a successful launch. And at that moment, a spontaneous, unrehearsed cheer erupted, a sort of joyful explosion. We did it. Sort of like, I guess, a last-second field goal from 40 yards out to win the football game, and 50,000 people rise to their feet as one and yell, "We win." Even though another or others may have done it, they really did win. And the people at the Cape were ecstatic in their celebration. No one could possibly know the pain and the agony and the anguish which they had experienced at that accident. And now all of their work was redeemed. Their lives, as it were put back together again, fixed. Oh, they knew it would happen in their heart of hearts. They knew it would happen, and they waited with sort of eager anticipation to this day when they would see it. At the conclusion of creation, when God spoke and everything sprang into existence, Job says the morning stars sang together as one, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. It was finished, done. A spirit of joyous love prevailed in that creation, presided over, built for, and by the sun. And when our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned and plunged the whole creation into that awful darkness of death, it was a disaster of unmeasurable proportions. An explosion that devastated billions upon billions of stars and galaxies to the farthest reaches of time and space, and which brought untold pain and agony and anguish into the hearts and lives of billions upon billions of people. And I suppose we could assume that at that very moment there was silence, an eerie, unreal silence in heaven. The joyful songs of thousands upon ten thousands of angels stopped, hushed by the awful brokenness and death that unfolded in front of them as God gave them a view to the end of it. No more joyful, joyous singing of the angels about the Creator. It was utterly, absolutely silent, almost as if waiting for someone to say something. And then the Lamb announced, as he saw the brokenness and the devastation and the heartache and the pain and the misery, the sin, the disease, the death unfold in front of him, "I'll go fix it." The response, "That'll hurt. I'll bear it." And then all of heaven must have resounded. The angels burst forth with joyful praises, unceasing praises to the Lamb who was slain and who would redeem everything to God by his blood. Through the Son, then, Paul says, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. How? Through the blood of the cross. It would be finished again. In a manner of speaking, in a certain sense, it already was in eternity. From then on, it was only a matter of time. Well, our text is a song of the salvation of our God. Ever since God made that promise to come and to take the sentence, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die, on himself, all of God's children throughout the entire Old Testament waited, holding their breath, waited for that glorious moment. They knew he would do it. They were confident it would happen. And even though the event was future, their joy was always present. The joy of the Lord was their strength, their bulwark. They knew he would do it. By the way, that passage from Nehemiah, "The joy of the Lord is your strength," was said just after Ezra had read the law to the people. And then the Levites explained it, and the people wept. They knew they had broken it, and they knew what they deserved as a consequence, punishment. They knew they deserved nothing but God's wrath and displeasure, temporal death and eternal damnation. They had sinned against him, and they wept. And then they heard the word of God's law, more. And their agony and their anguish and their pain increased. But finally, the word of the Lord was spoken to them. We would say, I guess today, they heard the word of Christ. They heard what the Lord was going to do for them. And then the joy of the Lord was their strength, their bulwark. Christ was their fortress. And now in the text, Isaiah says, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. He would complete the work. He would fix it. It would be finished again. Their lives would be redeemed. Now, what did the people at Nehemiah's time do when they heard the word of the Lord, their salvation? They celebrated. I guess we could say they had a great big birthday party, looking forward to the birthday of that Lord. It was as if he were already present with them. Here's how the text puts it. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that had been declared unto them. They knew he would do it, and they believed. Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities which we do not see. He had said, he had promised, my presence shall go with thee. And in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore, always. And so they could rejoice already then in the Lord always, even though the work for them which he would perform was future. Now then, the work. When the text says, in that day, it's really looking back. It's looking back at chapter 25, in which Isaiah had described the work on Mount Calvary. Here's what he had said. He will destroy in this mount, that's Mount Calvary really, he will destroy in this mount the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people will he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now then, you heard what it said. He will swallow up death in victory. It'll happen at Jerusalem, and all the world will hear about it. Looking at that day, it is the Messiah Christ himself speaking through Zechariah when he says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And many nations shall be joined unto the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know. Therefore my people shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. And they shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. Our Lord in the New Testament says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am the one. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men, all nations unto me. Now the text goes on. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works for us. This work for us is the salvation hidden in God's heart from eternity. It was almost as if the Holy Spirit, who witnessed that agreement between God the Father and God the Son in eternity, was holding his breath, watching all the mighty works of God for our salvation from beginning to end. And then he sort of bursts forth through the holy writer, it's finished, it's done. And the angels themselves can't restrain. Holy, 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 they say, they cry. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And that cry by the angels is said in the face of the atonement for sin. So the text goes on. Open ye the gates. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth, that's faith. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. By faith they are citizens already of this perfect city, this perfect place. They're a righteous nation. The Lord himself is their righteousness. The Lord who has done everything for them. So the text goes on, trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He, Jehovah, has done everything for us. He's our strength. And in him we have strength, as Paul says, for anything. I have strength for anything through him who gives me power. And he's coming again. Our redemption draws nigh. And there's going to be a great big birthday party at his place, at his expense. And he's going to gird himself, and he's going to make us sit down, and he's going to serve us as he already has. And there'll be a big birthday party for us too. It'll be our birthday out of the womb of this world and upward to the place where we'll sing with the angels praises to the Lamb who was slain, and who has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So sing with the angels. Hail, thou heavenly Prince of Peace. Hail, thou Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he leaves his throne on high. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Finally, Paul, in the face of all of God's mighty, wonderful works in our behalf, says, pray that I may open my mouth boldly. Interestingly, Luther's word there is Freudigkeit, joyfully. And may it be true of us too, that the Lord gives us the strength to open our mouths boldly, joyfully, to proclaim the song of salvation, so that others may sing it together with us. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill to men. May he grant it for his Son's sake. Amen.